You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Document title, Send Out to Die. Topic, The Scapegoat. Another week has passed, and thus with this, we have another podcast. Before we start, though, let's make a statement. I have a covenant in a personal relationship with Yeshua as Jesus. Hallelujah. Personal relationship, Jesus, Holy Spirit, me. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. Covenant, me, Jesus God. This is through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, let's dive in. The Scapegoat. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 5 to 9. King James Version. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats for a sin offering and one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 15 to 22, King James Version. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering, that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat, and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place, because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions in all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger seven times, and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat, and Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. The scapegoat was sent out into the desert with crimson around its horns, and when it was found again, or came back, and the crimson threads were bleached by the sun, S-U-N, the sins were forgiven. From the cross, Jesus Christ's blood was crimson red. From the cross, it was washed by the sun, S-O-N, meaning our sins are forgiven, on the cross and turned white as snow. There is an amazing reference in the Talmud concerning the doors of the Second Temple.
40 years before the destruction of the Temple, i.e. 30 CE, the lot did not come up in the right hand, nor did the crimson stripe become white, nor did the westernmost light burn. And the doors of the Haikal, the holy place of the Temple, opened of their own accord, until Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai rebuked them. He said to it, the temple, O Haikal, Haikal, why do you alarm yourself? I know full well that you are destined to be destroyed, for Zechariah ben Iddo has already prophesied concerning you. Zechariah chapter 11 verse 1. Open thy doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour the cedars. Talmud Bavli, Yoma 39b.
It is also important to note that the Talmudic reference is 40 years before the destruction of the Second Temple. The Second Temple was destroyed in 70 AD. The date of this amazing event was 30 AD, which is the exact year that Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth, was sacrificed in Jerusalem. The very massive doors of the temple opened on their own accord. There is also a secular Jewish source that indicates the doors also opened on their own accord. This is in the words of Josephus the historian. Josephus, The Wars of the Jews, 6.5.3. From here, a short excerpt.
Moreover, the eastern gate of the inner court of the temple, which was of brass and vastly heavy, and had been with difficulty shut by 20 men, and rested upon a basis armed with iron, and had bolts fastened very deep into the firm floor, which was there made of one entire stone, was seen to be opened of its own accord about the sixth hour of the night. Now those that kept watch in the temple came hereupon running to the captain of the temple and told him of it, who then came up thither, and not without great difficulty was able to shut the gate again.
The New Testament indicates that the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 to 54, King James Version. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion, and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. Truly, a miraculous event occurred 40 years before the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. The Talmudic passage above also affirms two other incredible events. After the death of the Messiah, the westernmost light also did not continue to burn. The eternal light, Ner Tamid, no longer would burn within the Holy of Holies. The lot failed to come upon the right hand, and the crimson stripe failed to turn white 40 years before the destruction of the temple. The lot was cast for the Azazel, or the scapegoat, on Yom Kippur. Two goats were selected, and the lot always fell upon the goat on the right hand. After the death of the Messiah, the lot was cast, and the goat on the left was selected to carry the sins of the nation into the wilderness. There was a crimson cord tied around the neck of the scapegoat. The cord would always turn white, indicating the sins of the nation were forgiven. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, King James Version. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The crimson cord stopped turning white 40 years before the destruction of the temple. Yeshua was executed 40 years before the destruction of the temple. The events recorded in the Talmud account for the incredible event that occurred in 30 CE Judas Iscariot's Second Covenant. Innocent blood, Matthew chapter 27, verse 3 to 10, King James Version. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned, in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went, and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces, and said, "It is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood." And they took counsel, and bought with them the potter's field, to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me." Judas is the Greek form of the Hebrew Judah, which means praise. Iscariot most likely means man from Kerioth, a city in the Negev of the region in Jesus' day, which was called Judea. There are several other theories about this word. If this is true, Judas was the only one of the 12 apostles the scriptures record as not coming from Galilee. Galileans were looked down upon by Judeans. Jesus chose Judas, not the other way around. Jesus knew them before he picked them. Prior to the betrayal, Judas's only recorded sin was stealing from the money box. The other 11 apostles had accounts recorded of them of sins which included unbelief, lust for position and power, not being mindful of the things of the Spirit, but of man. All the disciples left him. Peter denied him 3 times in one night. Judas threw the 30 pieces of silver on the ground in the naos, holy place, part of the temple. Only a priest could enter that part of the temple. Even Jesus could only enter the courtyard because he was not from the tribe of Levi. This fact is very important. Judas repented and declared Jesus innocent and confessed his sin. All these things happened to fulfill prophecy that the Creator planned to be fulfilled at this time. Most of us who have studied the Bible for any length of time know that Jesus was the Lamb of God, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Those of you who have participated in a Passover ceremony are familiar with the symbolism of the rite and its fulfillment on the tree of crucifixion. We know Jesus, the innocent Lamb's blood, was shed for us, that the death angel would pass over our house, that is, our life. But we have been very shallow in our studies and have not looked at how the Lamb was determined to be an innocent Lamb. We have looked to Pontius Pilate as the judge who determined whether Jesus was guilty of death or not. But Jesus had to fulfill the laws of Moses, not the laws of Rome. The Jewish leaders wanted Jesus guilty, not innocent. They would not declare the Lamb innocent. So how was Jesus legally determined to be the innocent Lamb? The answer, Judas. Acts chapter 1, verse 15 to 26, King James Version. "And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said," the number of names together were about 120. "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us, and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Aceldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore of these men, which have companied with us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. As we begin to gather all these pieces together, keep in mind that Judas was predestined, just as Jesus, being born at this time, was predestined. Jesus chose Judas knowing his purpose, that prior to Satan entering Judas, his sins were really not much different than the other apostles. If covetousness kept people out of heaven, then heaven would be void of Christians, especially preachers. And that judgment is without mercy for those who show no mercy. Be very careful in how you judge Judas. For as you judge, perhaps so shall you be judged. This land, the Potter's Field, is located in the Valley of Hinnom, what was called Gehenna, which the King James Bible and its sister translations call Hell. This blood money, which belonged to Judas, purchased Hell. Throughout this teaching, we can see the intricate plan that God wove through history, from the scapegoat carrying sins into the wilderness, to the supernatural signs in the temple, to the sacrifice of Yeshua on the cross. Every detail emphasizes that God orchestrated these events with a purpose, to grant atonement and forgiveness to all who would believe. It is a profound reminder that nothing is accidental in his grand design. We also observe how central the concept of innocence is to salvation. The scapegoat symbolically carried away the guilt of the people, just as Yeshua, the sinless one, bore the sins of the world. When Judas himself declared the innocence of Jesus, he fulfilled a pivotal part of God's plan under the law of Moses, confirming that the Lamb of God was without blemish. Finally, we are reminded that forgiveness and redemption are extended to all. Even the one who betrayed the Messiah was used to affirm his holiness, underscoring that God's mercy reaches far beyond our understanding. As believers, we should humbly embrace this truth, continually turning to him, repenting for our wrongdoings, and asking for forgiveness, leaving our burdens at the foot of the cross, and rejoicing that our sins are washed whiter than snow. Jesus went to hell and placed our sin there, locked it up, and took the keys. Our sins were left at the foot of the cross. Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.